You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Piled high with thick-cut bacon or savory sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted cheese. Get 2 Crew Sandwich breakfast sandwiches for just $4, only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation vary.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
As your doctor, I'm going to give it to you straight. You have a severe case of gustatory horripilation aneurysis, and you need to choose between a cystoplastic volantate treatment or orthostatic muscae surgery. I'll give you a second to think it over, but we'll need an answer right away. It's bad.
But thankfully, you don't need to be a genius to do your own taxes. Because TurboTax's Smart Look feature gives you on-screen assistance to help answer your questions so you're never on your own. Intuit TurboTax. Taxes done smarter. Feature availability varies by product and platform.
Peyton Manning is $2 million richer.
The Denver Broncos quarterback is getting back half of a $4 million pay cut he took last winter by leading the team to the Super Bowl. Sunday's win over New England netted the future Hall of Famer the extra cash. He can earn the other half back with a victory over the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50 a week from Sunday in Santa Clara, California. Manning agreed to reduce his 2015 salary to $15 million, but with the caveat that he could earn that money back by getting to and winning the Super Bowl. Each member of the Broncos got $46,000 for the win over the Patriots. The Super Bowl winners will receive just over a $100,000 bonus, while the loser's individual share is worth $51,000. I'm Melody Burkett.
The weekend's historic snowstorm still has airlines canceling flights. The flight tracking service FlightAware says nearly 550 flights are already canceled for today. That raises the five-day total of scrubbed flights to more than 13,000 since the snow started falling late last week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm all about keeping it simple. Been getting the same haircut from the same guy for 20 years. You can't beat simple. That's why the first place I turn to when I need something is Grainger. I don't want one place for my safety products and another for my abrasives. Grainger has over 1.2 million products and the solutions I need to help keep this place running. Grainger. Simple. Simple. Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Regulatory gaps in dietary supplement clinical science, health claims, and manufacturing processes could be putting patients at risk. Dr. Preston Mason is a scientist with Harvard Medical School.
So we've been researching this area for several years, and we have found that dietary fish oil supplements vary quite dramatically from product to product with respect to the amount of the healthy omega-3 fatty acid.
Omega-3 dietary supplements are among the most popular dietary supplements in the U.S., but many consumers may not know that they're subject to the strict drug approval requirements, such as clinical trials and content analysis. Dietary supplements are not subject to the same FDA standards as prescription medications, so the purity and quality of them cannot be assured. The Department of Justice announced actions in November against dietary supplement makers and marketers. The Food and Drug Administration in December also resolved to more closely regulate the dietary industry by creating the Office of Dietary Supplement Programs. Dr. Preston Mason with Harvard Medical School says most dietary supplements don't have the quality that the prescription supplements do.
So we've been looking at the more widely used dietary supplements. And among the ones we looked at, we found none of them had the type of quality that we see in a prescription form of an omega-3 fatty acid. So I can't certainly recommend a particular brand.
Dr. Mason says these loose regulations present a challenge to patients.
And I think it's a challenge for consumers and patients when it comes to dietary supplements because of the loose regulation.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormones. hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Welcome to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco. I'm the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice and hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing their wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can be better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out technological decisions. Each week, I will focus on topics about technology. Segments will include technology news, the latest apps, buying advice for hardware and software, and answering your questions. To contact me during the show, go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. goodmorning@huntingchamberradio.com is my email. The phone number here in the studio, 908-237-0410. And to contact me outside of the show, my company website is BluePantherBiz.com, BluePantherBiz.com. Well, welcome to another edition of Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. We just got through Snowmageddon, and it's time to look at other things in the world of technology. Technology certainly helped with predicting the storm and communicating information about how to deal with it, and certainly about how we made it through. So technology is involved constantly, and that's one of the reasons we like to focus on it here at HuntingChamberRadio.com. Let's see what in the world of technology. We've been promoting electric cars and talking about the evolution of them. Well, there's a change in the electric car landscape, and it happens to do with Apple's Zdesky, who is the head of the electric car project at Apple. He's leaving the company, so says Wall Street Journal. This article is from Reuters, published on the 22nd, and it was displayed on news.yahoo.com. And it says, Apple Inc.'s Steve Zdesky, who has been overseeing the company's electric car project for the last 2 years, has said he is leaving the company, Wall Street Journal reported on Friday, citing people familiar with the matter. Zdesky, who previously worked with the iPod and iPhone teams, is leaving for personal reasons, not related to his performance, the WSJ said. It was not clear whether the 16-year veteran would leave Apple, the journal said. As of Friday afternoon, his profile on LinkedIn still listed him as working at Apple. Apple declined to comment, and Apple has never acknowledged it is looking into building an electric car, but the company has recruited dozens of auto experts, many from car makers like Ford and Mercedes-Benz. Apple chief executive Tim Cook went to BMW's headquarters in 2014, and senior Apple executives toured the car maker's Leipzig factory to learn how it manufactures the i3 electric car, sources familiar with the matter told Reuters. The dialogue ended without conclusion because Apple, the world's largest maker of electronic gadgets, appears to want to explore developing a passenger car on its own, one of the sources said. Also, BMW, the world's largest seller of premium cars, is being cautious about sharing its manufacturing know-how because it wants to avoid becoming a mere supplier to a software or internet giant. but one of the sources said the exploratory talks between senior management might be revived. So we'll see. It doesn't sound as though Mr. Zadesky was an expert in the world of auto development. He seemed to be an expert in the world of Apple development in gadgetry, and perhaps it was his expertise to tie together those auto experts. So perhaps there's somebody else that's stepping in, or perhaps, like they said, it might be personal reasons that he has to involve, get out of it. We'll see. Don't know. We don't know what the impact is, because obviously it's hard to even see what Apple was doing in the first place. So we move on from there. There's plenty of other Apple information that's going on, and here's a perfect example. Again, reported by Reuters and J.R. Wu on January 22nd, also displayed on news.yahoo.com, it says fewer orders at Apple suppliers could signal the first iPhone sales decline. So there might be a change in the cultural landscape of people who are loyalists to iPhone and Apple. So some of Apple Inc.'s main Asian suppliers expect revenues and orders to drop this quarter, indicating iPhone sales are almost certain to post their first annual decline since the flagship product was launched almost a decade ago. Forecasts of lackluster sales by companies including Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, the world's largest contract chip maker, and smartphone camera lens producer Largan Precision Company Ltd. add to concerns about Apple's outlook amid slowing global demand for smartphones. Industry executives say the latest iPhone did not have enough new features from the previous model to tempt users, raising fear that Apple's innovative streak and the profits it has generated may be running its course. Apple, which reports December quarter results on Tuesday, declined to comment on its sales outlook. Quote, visibility is only a month at a time, and demand is quite weak, Largan Precision Chief Executive Adam Lin told an earnings briefing, referring to his company's overall business. Other suppliers said Apple now only gave them orders 1 month in advance instead of the usual three. Quote, we have to be very flexible in terms of capacity, said an executive at one of those firms, declining to identify their company or be named due to confidentiality agreement that prevents Apple suppliers from discussing its order book. Apple has previously said that individual data from its supply chain was not an accurate reflection of its outlook. But TSMC, which makes some of the chips that go into iPhones, forecast this month that first quarter revenues would likely fall by up to 11% year on year, adding that demand for high-end smartphones would also be weak. An 11% quarterly decline would be the steepest revenue drop by TSMC in almost 7 years, Thomas Reuters data shows. Earlier this month, people familiar with the matter told Reuters that Taiwan-based Foxconn, which assembles most iPhones, has taken a rare decision to cut working hours over a major holiday during which workers usually rack up overtime. Foxconn, the trade name for the Hanhai Precision Industry Company Ltd., saw its December revenue slump by a fifth, and 2015 sales miss expectations. A more detailed picture about Apple's outlook could emerge next week if key suppliers, including LG Display, SK Hynix, and Samsung Electronics, provide first quarter forecasts when they report December quarter earnings. So they're trying to compare the various smartphone manufacturers overall and see if it's a trend or if it's just Apple. First quarter revenues at both LG and Hynix are expected to fall about 10%, which is close to that 11, according to Thomas Reuters' VBES data. Analysts say iPhone sales could pick up during the second half of the year when the company usually launches new products. But with competitors such as Samsung and Huawei Technologies sharpening their edge, some suppliers are not so sure. The pace of innovation has slowed. Apple is going toward the same direction as other brand names, said another Taiwanese Apple supplier. So I guess people are starting to say that the industry is narrowing its focus because the consumer has a certain number of expectations and everybody's kind of falling into that consumer demand. Rather than where Apple was the leader and innovator and demanding, it seems as though everybody's falling into place. So we'll see. Like I said, there's been it's an interesting perspective with the world of Apple. There are loyalists that absolutely devote to Apple, despite the fact that you could put taste and the decision about certain features in front of one another from different brands and suggest that one brand may have a better set of features than another and a better use and interface than another. And yet still, people are devoted to it. Don't know what it is. I don't quite understand it. I am not an Apple loyalist. I deal with Apple loyalists all the time. And we have to, I have to make sure that those Apple loyalists are still using their apps and their programs and their devices effectively. But when it comes to making sure that they function, myself and my team has to deal with some of the craziness that goes on when those particular devices, especially Apple devices, do not play nice in the rest of the Windows world. And that is an interesting challenge all the time. Yet, there are folks that absolutely love Apple and swear by it and will not ever consider giving up, at least not immediately. And so that keeps us in business, trying to keep everybody happy from time to time. All right, well, let's see. We might have room for one more article before we have to take a break. We have the way you buy and use apps is about to change big time, so says Wired.com. The article author is John Hallcroft, and he says, turning apps into money has always seemed like a fairly straightforward proposition. Sell the app, get the money. Or better yet, give the app away and sell upgrades inside it. But while the basics remain largely the same, the alchemy that goes into it has changed significantly. How you buy apps and where and what kind is going to change a lot in the next few years. It's already started. A new report from app analytics firm App Annie says, barely just how far the app landscape's tectonic plates have shifted. As you might expect from such a complex interwoven ecosystem, a host of factors come into play. The geography has changed, and the business models have evolved. Even the devices are different. That means challenges for some developers, opportunities for others, and a world of choice for the consumer. First, there's subscription salvation. Let's make one thing clear. In app purchases, the insidious upgrades and add-ons that crowd your credit card statement aren't going anywhere. Neither are in-app ads. Advertising and in-app purchases are the two dominant methods of generating revenue, says Eric Thompson, data analyst for App Annie. And why would they? The top revenue earners in 2015 were all either in-app upgrade monsters like Clash of Clans, Game of War, and yes, still Candy Crush Saga. The blanket category in in-app purchases, though, was also buffeted by the continuing rise of recurring charges to services like Spotify and HBO Now. Subscription revenue made incredible gains, says App Annie report, thanks to strong demand for videos, music, and dating apps. Subscriptions are worth highlighting for a few reasons. First, they're recurring and predictable. There's no sense of exasperation trying to get to the next level. More interesting still is that 2015 was the year subscriptions finally broke out of their streaming video and music niche, thanks largely to Tinder's introduction of controversial paid tier. Despite a March introduction of Tinder Plus, Tinder still ranked in the top five apps in worldwide combined iOS and Google Play revenue. Other dating apps have found similar success, though on a smaller scale, both at home and abroad. The more important for the app economy, though, may be whether other app types can shift to a subscription model as well. The short answer, don't get your hopes up. Quote, I don't think there are inherent limitations to the subscription model, says IDC mobile analyst John Jackson. they will tend to continue to coalesce around a relatively narrow set of services. Jackson adds that there's plenty of opportunity for breakout hits within those niches, but the idea that someone would subscribe to, say, a calendar app month after month seems far-fetched. Or games, for that matter. Speaking in which, that what about games? Pay-to-play. That's mobile games that ever is obvious, that the mobile games that find the most success are coming from increasingly diverse sources is less so. It makes for a far more exciting app future. Although the individual apps leading the revenue charts remained relatively steady in 2015, beneath the surface, there have been massive shifts in the mobile gaming market, according to the App Annie report. Games are maturing at a faster rate, while mobile gaming revenue has become less concentrated. One reason for the broader publishing opportunities, people move on from mobile games more quickly than ever. App Annie estimates that the time for maturity for new games, how long it takes between release and dropping off the face of the earth, dropped 60% from 2014 to 15. Nearly 50 weeks is just over 17 weeks. That's not a lot of time to make noise, or conversely, it's a lot more opportunities for noise to be made. On the one hand, smaller publishers have taken up a greater slice of the market, says App Annie. On the other hand, the prospect of a long-term success with just one or two games continued to become less realistic for more publishers. While it's harder than ever to find breakout success, short attention spans mean both that smaller publishers have a decent shot at least getting noticed. It also means that customers may finally be wising up to the premium part of a freemium and more open to alternatives. I think freemium apps and games will always make the most money, but I do see premium making a comeback, says Ryan Cash, co-founder of Snowman, the studio responsible for iOS hit Alto's Adventure. For a while, everyone was sort of blind to the whole freemium thing and just saw the free part of the word. But now I think people understand that a free download doesn't actually mean that a product isn't going to cost you money. Cash sees the potential for a resurgence in upfront payments for premium apps, a trend that got a recent assist when Apple introduced a pay-once-and-play section of the App Store. Most people still want to pay for apps or games, but you don't need that, says Cash. You just need a decent little audience, and you can be profitable. And a fun twist, resurgence in the old way of doing things may find its best hope for success in a new guard of devices. So it's too early to say that the sort of impact that new Apple TV will have on the apps. It has much of it, one at all. Well, the very least, it already has quantity. As of November, there were just 1,000 tvOS apps available in download, according to App Tracker Slide to Play. For now, the top grossing Apple TV apps follow familiar trends, a mix of subscription media like HBO Now and Hulu, and freemium games like Asphalt 8. Still, it's early days, and there's no reason to expect that it will fall into the same patterns. So it appears that we've gone into this new landscape where you get the freemium, you have the inside purchases if you want to get more lives because you don't want to wait. But now it looks like a subscription is coming this way, and our desire to be loyal to a certain game has dropped significantly, perhaps because there's more games to try, perhaps because we hit the ceiling and we can't really achieve anymore with the games that are out there, or because we're just getting tired of seeing the same pattern over and over and over again. Whatever it is, we seem to be a changing landscape, and it didn't take long, right? It's kind of exponential how fast these cycles go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment, right after these messages. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Corking Company. And I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. All right, we're back. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. We have tons more to talk about that has to do with the tech landscape and getting you that information. So we move on to something that's been a burden for quite some time. I bring it up from time to time, especially when there's new security issues that come up. And it's, you need a password manager, and here are some good ones. It comes from Wired, so it's a nice little article here about things to consider with regard to password management. It's an interconnected world out there, and while it might be more convenient if one company acted as a gatekeeper for the array of services you subscribe to, overall it would probably mean that the technology of the future would be boring and homogenized. The problem is that when you subscribe to a lot of different services, you're usually also forced to generate a lot of different passwords. This is actually a good thing, although your bank information is likely linked to more all accounts, as well as your purchase history, media browsing habits, and a slew of other private information that you'd prefer protected. But if you're the kind of person who constantly resets passwords and usernames, or worse, recycles the same password you've been using for the same 7 years, it's time for a serious upgrade. You need a password management tool. Password managers are great because they store all your passwords, generate strong ones for you, and in general, the only password you have to remember is the one to open your password manager. It's time to put an end to using 123456 or password to lock your accounts. Password managers aren't just for convenience sake. Think of it as good online hygiene. Most password managers save and generate secure passwords for you, meaning you only have to remember one password, the one that opens the vault. So make it a strong one. Now that you understand why you're doing this, here's some good options for you free that you should try. LastPass is one of the most popular free password manager apps out there. It works on both your desktop and your phone, Android or iOS. LastPass, like many other password managers, auto-populates your password on websites as well as personal information you use to fill out forms. This is a feature that many have become accustomed to with popular internet browsers like Chrome and Firefox, but think of your password manager as a more secure, centralized version of that. So it will save passwords across applications and websites. This app is more than just a locker. It also has an important password generator that creates strong passwords instantly and remembers them for you. One cool thing is that LastPass automatically audits passwords you have stored, alerting you when it finds duplicates or when it finds it's time to change an old password, a smart move for protecting your accounts from getting breached. The interface is easy to use, but if you want to sync your passwords between your phone and desktop, you'll have to use the pay for version for $1 a month. A huge disclaimer though, LastPass was hacked recently. So if you're in need of high-level security, always be sure to use your research. In 2015, company admitted to a breach that exposed user email addresses, password hints, and encrypted master passwords. but the company appears to have responded promptly, and the majority of users were protected. And earlier this month, security researcher unveiled another hole in the app security that may allow attackers to obtain personal details via phishing attack by simulating the login sequence, and again, the company responded promptly, reporting that the process of email verification protects users from this vulnerability. There is Dashlane, which is another free password manager that works on across phones and desktops in Dashlane. Its design is slick and easy to use and similar to LastPass. Dashlane creates strong passwords for you, saves them, and autofills web forms with personal information. So the only thing you need to remember is the master password to open the encrypted vault, a one password to rule them all kind of thing. It's possible to install Dashlane for free on multiple devices, but if you want your data to sync across your phone, your desktop, and accessible online, you'll have to pay around $3 a month to get that service. Dashlane also provides a digital wallet option that stores your bank information for easy shopping. The digital wallet also allows users to capture the same receipts from purchases, which is actually pretty cool. The app doesn't store master passwords or password hints for security reasons, perhaps hedging Dashlane from some of the vulnerabilities that have surfaced with LastPass. The next one is KeePassX. It's spelled K-E-E-PassX and is your open source option, an important detail for the security concerned. Otherwise, you're forced to trust that the company you picked hasn't installed any backdoors. Even if you don't know your way around the back end of applications, knowing that the project fully discloses its source code and the independent researchers can audit it should give you some peace of mind. After all, transparency, when properly implemented, is a powerful tool. KeePassX is compatible with an array of free software password apps for mobile phones, but in order to sync your passwords across devices, you'll have to upload your encrypted password file with an online storage service like Dropbox or Google Drive. While KeePassX is the recommended option among some security professionals, it isn't that easy to use. The user experience just isn't as streamlined as the commercial alternatives. Still, it does generate strong passwords for you and is frequently updated. Developers allow users to write plugins to make the app work for them, and that customability is a huge asset to the more technically inclined. Then there's Sticky Password. It also worth checking out if you're in the market for a password manager. Similar to LastPass and Dashlane, you can download the desktop and mobile app, but need to subscribe to their service for cloud syncing. It also has a secure random password generator and autofills online forms. The cool thing about Sticky Password is that it allows for biometric confirmation. You can use your fingerprint to authenticate your identity on a mobile device. Sticky Password's premium option also permits Wi-Fi syncing across devices, so your encrypted data never has to leave your device and you don't have to trust the cloud. And if trusting the cloud is a breeze for you, Sticky Password also allows a host an encrypted backward database online for those who opt in, just in case you lose your device. The interface is easy to use too, but if you want to access the cool biometric authentication tool and Wi-Fi syncing, you'll have to pay. It costs $20 for a year's subscription. So LastPass is $12 a year. Dashlane is $36 a year. And now we just learned about Sticky Password. It's $20 a year. They all seem to have the ability to sync. And that's important because if you're an individual that uses multiple devices, you're going to want to make sure that there is one vault that all of those devices can check for the password. Otherwise, you're always going to try and remember, and you're always going to fail. So you need to have, if you got to buy into this concept of having one vault and having it sync. So it's going to cost you in some manner, shape, or form. The only one that's not is going to be the KeePassX, which is open source. Now, again, understand this part. So you have commercial, which is Sticky Password, Dashlane, and LastPass. They're commercial apps, and they have proprietary code. And it used to be that you would want proprietary code because it was, quote, secret. But now, as it turns out, open source is actually a better option, as it said in the article. Having the code being viewed by people outside of the company allows it to other people to focus on and look for the possibility of vulnerabilities in the code and improve it. Groupthink seems to happen with proprietary software development. So if you have it outside, exposed to the world, a lot of people can look at it, and there's people that just get all jazzed up by being able to inspect code and make changes to it. So if you want to save money, but you want to deal with a little bit more of your own effort, KeePass X seems to have it. You'll have to save your file, though, in Google Docs or in Dropbox, and that's how it'll sync, and that's free. If you want the proprietary and a slicker, a better interface, and don't want to deal with some of the other issues, then LastPass, Dashlane, and Sticky Password provide you that. If you're looking for biometrics, right now Sticky Password seems to be the one, and Sticky Password seems to differentiate itself from LastPass and Dashlane in that you don't have to give your vault to the company. Your vault will stay local and sync across devices via your own Wi-Fi. So you don't have to put it on somebody else's computer to get it back down to yours. And that's the difference. So there's a caveat to every option, and it's a matter of what you feel the most comfortable with. But in order to generate better passwords, only keep track of one, have to not deal with the constant need of resetting, and in order to make sure that you're more secure, these seem to be the better options, so they're all there for you. All right, we're at another breaking point. We're going to take a break, do the news, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100andChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The 100 and Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
100 Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. Tech Today on HuntingChamber.com. Oh, a little while ago, we were talking about iPhone and the fact that you may not be buying that new iPhone. Well, if you still have one and you're getting a little frustrated with the speed of which it is taking to actually work and process things, well, I have an article here that might be of interest to you. Yahoo Tech. Simon Hill of Digital Trends reported on the 23rd that aging iPhones speed it up with these 10 tricks. One of the big attractions of Apple's iPhone is the smooth user experience. The iPhone often outperforms the competition, but every device begins to slow down with age. Updates to iOS can also be a double-edged sword, sometimes rendering older iPhone models even slower. It can be frustrating to find that your once youthful, lightning-fast iPhone is slowing to a crawl. But you don't need to accept that decline. Don't let your iPhone go gently into that good night. Instead, try out the tips below to give it new life. First, it's tried and tested opening gambit of IT support for a reason. Turning devices off and on again can often solve issues and boost performance. It's also quick and easy, so what you have got to lose. Press and hold the sleep-wake button and slide the resulting switch to turn off your device. Once done, press and hold the sleep-wake button again until you see the Apple logo appear. So it's, when in doubt, reboot, is the way I always tell people. Visual effects may be nice, but there's a processing overhead. You can speed things up a little bit by turning them off or reducing them. Go to Settings, General, Accessibility, Increase Contrast, and Toggle Reduce Transparency to On. You should also think about going to Settings, General, Accessibility, and toggling on Reduce Motion. So some of those cute little interfaces that make it look cool might actually be slowing you down a little bit. Uninstall unused apps. Go through all the apps and games on your phone and uninstall anything that you don't use regularly. Be ruthless. They're taking up space and potentially eating resources by running and updating in the background. Turn Siri features off. Well, some people might freak out by that. Siri can be a very handy, but there are a couple of features that you might consider turning off to boost performance. Siri can automatically suggest things when you search in iOS 9 and up, but this feature can slow your iPhone down. To toggle it off, go to Settings, General, Spotlight, Suggestions, Siri Suggestions. Another feature that could be causing a performance hit is Hey Siri. If you have an iPhone S6 or S6 Plus, you can say Hey Siri at any time to bring Siri to life, and it works on some older phones when you're plugged in and charging. If you want to turn it off, you'll find it under Settings, General, and Siri. So there you go. Some things that are running in the background that you take for granted. Sounds cool, having Siri wake up and do what it needs to do. And you could just, in fact, just turn it off because most of the time you just don't use it. Turn off automatic downloads. If you take a look at Settings app iTunes stores, you'll find a section labeled Automatic Downloads. If your iPhone is the only device associated with the Apple ID, then you might want this on. But if it isn't, then you could be automatically downloading new app and content purchases you made on another device that you really don't want on your iPhone. If you're going to use an automatic download, we suggest turning off Use Cellular Data in Settings, App, and iTunes Stores. Use default apps. This could be a real irritation for some people, but there's little doubt that Apple's apps work best with iPhone. They're set as defaults for most major functions, such as email, navigation, and web browsing. They may not always be the best in terms of functionality, but if you want the smoothest and fastest performance, you might want to stick with them. Turn off background app refresh. This is some apps are constantly ticking in the background, syncing data and refreshing content without you realizing it. They can slow everything down and drastically reduce battery life. Contrary to popular belief, double tapping home and swiping everything up to close it is not the answer. What you should do is go to Settings, General, Background App Refresh, and turn it off completely, or at the very least, turn off for selected apps. The only difference is that the app will sync when you fire it up, rather than constantly syncing in the background. And clear old files, whether it be a video file, a photo that is safely backed up, an old text message, or cached data. Old files that you no longer need are a pointless drain on resources. Go to Settings, General, Storage, and iCloud Usage. Manage storage and you can see what's taking up most space. Delete anything that you don't need. With some apps, it may be worth uninstalling them and then reinstalling them to get rid of the cached data. Clear your browsing history. You're on those Safaris all the time and all that's sitting there. So one area where it's relatively easy to get rid of superfluous files is Safari. Go to Settings, Safari, Clear History, and Website Data. This might slow down browsing in the short term, given your iPhone will need to cache websites that you visit again, but there will probably be a net performance gain in cleaning out the junk every once in a while. And finally, reset your iPhone. You could try Settings, General, Reset, Reset All Settings. It's something we recommend when troubleshooting, and we will clear out some old data at the cost of having to re-enter certain passwords and other settings. A more drastic approach is to go for the full factory reset via Settings, General, Reset, Erase All Content and Settings. Check out how to factory reset an iPhone for full details. Doing so will likely result in improved performance. Just make sure you back up all your important files first. Yeah, after a while, especially with Apple right now, it happens with other ones, but I just want to bring this up, not that I'm picking on Apple, but there have been, at least three or four different updates to the iOS over the last year and a half. And if you have an old iPhone that's gone through three or four different iOS updates, chances are those updates have slowed down your phone. So one of the things that you could do is do a factory reset and bring a brand new operating system clean on the phone, and that will make it, save some space, and second, probably run faster. The question you have to decide for yourself is, are you willing to deal with it for perhaps another 6 months? And then where are you in your upgrade cycle? If you're thinking of that you're going to eventually get a new iPhone or another phone in the near future, chances are you're not going to want to go through the aggravation of resetting a phone and reinstalling all your applications. But if you're thinking you're going to be holding on to this for a little while longer and not jumping into the foray of a new phone, then this might be your next step in terms of refreshing the phone and the like. We deal with it in all sorts of... These ideas aren't new. This is the same ideas that I give people when it's to PCs. It's the same idea that I give to people when it comes to tablets and, in fact, other devices as well, Samsung, the like. It doesn't matter. We all go through the same problem of having the device for quite some time. It's constant updating, our constant installation, and eventually removal of applications, and that slows things down. Eventually, they have to be cleaned up and get back in shape, and you have to make these same decisions regardless of what type of app you're working with. All right, we move on from there to an app that helps teachers track student attendance. How about that? This is in Technophoria, and the New York Times reports it. The author is Natasha Singer, and she published this on the 23rd, and says, over the years, Etta Covington, a science teacher at Wadley Secondary School for the Performing and Visual Arts in Harlem, has seen her share of students who routinely show up late to class, cut classes, or skip school altogether. It's a pattern that can increase the risk of flunking out. She says, my average that comes in on time is 7 students out of 30, Mrs. Covington told me recently as she surveyed a bank of empty laboratory tables in her first period living environmental class. Of the truant students, she lamented, they stroll in and then I have no shows. Now, Wadley is trying a new approach to absenteeism. In November, the school began using Kinvolved, an app that lets teachers take each student's attendance with the swipe of a finger and then automatically sends a text message to parents if a child is absent or tardy. Teachers can customize lateness alerts to include the number of class minutes missed. The school does not copy students on these messages. Mrs. Covington said she could already see a deterrent effect. This one you used to hardly ever see, she said, indicating a ninth grader perched behind a lab table, pencil and notebook at the ready. Now she is one of the first in class in the morning. Our parents, who may feel irked by receiving up to 9 truancy or tardy messages in a day, however, the app may take some getting used to. There are one parent who said, please stop sending me these messages, said Habib Bangura, the community school director for Wadley's partnership with Teachers College, Columbia University, which is an effort to improve educational outcomes in high-need Harlem schools. They asked to be removed, just like a telemarketer. We were happy to oblige. Kinvolved is one of many apps and software services aimed at automating or streamlining long-standing school practices, like classroom behavior management or exam proctoring. Kinvolved Inc., the three-year-old startup that developed the app, was founded by 2 entrepreneurs in their 20s, Miriam Atman and Alexandra Mice, who met as graduate students at the Robert F. Wagner Graduate School of Public Service at New York University. Mrs. Altman, Kinvolved's chief executive, previously taught history at a high school in Manhattan. As in the case in many districts, she was required to take attendance by hand using bubble sheets, marking her students A for absent or L for late. The sheets were fed into a processor, with each A leading to a robocall to warn parents. But the system that sent automated voice and mail messages often had out-of-date family contact information. I was flabbergasted that parents weren't being notified, Mrs. Altman said. Kinvolved's goal is to spur greater parental involvement by increasing the details parents receive from their child's school while making the communication process more efficient. In addition to sending attendance notices in English, Spanish, Haitian, Creole, and other languages, teachers may use the app to inform parents about school events or class tests. For administrators and teachers, that app also includes pie charts showing school-wide or student-specific attendance trends, such as lost instructional time in a given week or month. The Teachers College Partnership Program is covering the cost of Kinvolved, which can run $2,600 to $10,000 per school year for 5 Harlem schools. Daisy Fontenez, the principal of Wadley, likens the school's adoption of Kinvolved to accountants who used to enter financial information by hand, and then the Excel spreadsheet came about. Parents may also Kinvolved as a counterweight to the increased autonomy mobile phones can confer upon children. There's a lot of new technology like cell phones that have undercut parent influence in socialization their children and increased peer influence, says Patricia Greenfield, a psychology professor at the University of California. This restores a bit of parents' ability to socialize their children in a very constructive way. Like a number of school apps that slice off symptoms of complex problems and tackle them as informative deficiencies, however, Kinvolved also raises questions about technologies that treat students more as subjects to be surveilled and analyzed than as participants in their own education. I get why these interventions are sexy, because they are relatively cheap, says Kevin G., who's an assistant professor of education at the University of California, Davis, where he studies the effectiveness of educational policies. But text-based programs, such as school letters, that inform parents that their children are overweight, he said, often rely on a hypothesis that the more information naturally results in better outcomes for students. Professor G added, is information enough to move the needle on this problem? Ms. Altman said that Kinvolve staff members coach school administrators to help them use attendance data to shape the program they put in place. We believe the technology alone is not going to solve any problem, she said. And at Wadley, administrators tend to view Kinvolve as a detection system for habitual absenteeism, not as a means to address underlying problems like family illness, job loss, or homelessness, which may cause students to miss school. Kinvolve is a tool that gives us the attendance number, but it doesn't give us the qualitative information that will allow us to address the issue, said Mr. Bengura, Wadley's community school director. There are legitimate and structural reasons that some students are late to school, like the responsibility to drop off younger siblings at a babysitter, and we are trying to put some solutions in place by communicating with the family. The school has used data logged by Kinvolve to direct additional attention to those families whose children miss school most often. The students meet regularly with advisors and mentors to set monthly attendance improvement goals. The school rewards students who meet their monthly goals, giving them a free movie ticket. Teachers at Wadley have also taken it upon themselves to share Kinvolve data with their students. I like them to see how many minutes late they are, said Julian Fisher, who's a social studies teacher. It takes the guesswork and the excuses out of it. Administrators also invite parents to meetings so they can join forces to improve a student's attendance. One morning this month, a couple arrived at the school after having received text messages saying their daughter had been late to school and was also skipping classes after lunch. They huddled with Mr. Bengura to discuss strategies for motivating their daughter to go to class. She says she is coming into school, her father said, but the picture is not so pretty as she paints. It seems clear that school attendance efforts will not succeed without devoted teachers like Mrs. Covington, who, even without an app, have developed their own internal radar and tracks truant students who may be at risk of falling behind. And Mrs. Covington walked down a school hallway lined on either side with yellow student lockers. She caught sight of a ninth grader ducking into a classroom. The teacher deftly caught the student, who had missed her first period science class that day, by the elbow. "When are you coming to see me and make up that class?" Mrs. Covington asked. In education, the killer app is the teacher. So this brings to point two things. The first one is that many organizations have outdated technology. And so the smart app has the ability to be able to be a substitute for it, primarily because so many people are driven to have smartphones nowadays. It's easy to put this in place because so many people have bought into the smartphone concept. So we can bypass the very larger organizational system and simply put something like this into place. However, it does drive to this point. You are going to get the data. The question is, what are you going to do with the data? Now, you do need the data first to at least have that conversation. And that's what Kinvolve does. It brings together quantitative information that you can bring to the other party. Now, if the other party is simply not interested, such as the one that said, please turn off these messages, you're not going to get any further. But if the other party is interested, and now they have the information, much like that father who said that his daughter was always at class or at school, and now the data says otherwise, now you're going to have a different outcome. And that's the difference. So whenever you're looking for technology to solve a problem, understand that technology only provides the quantitative information to make a decision. It's not ever going to make the problem go away unless you use that data to your advantage. And that is the most important piece of information there. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer